I'm at Heritage Baptist Church and teaching young couples and singles Sunday school class here on Sunday morning in Edmond, Oklahoma City, outside of Oklahoma City. I want to thank Rich Smith for that prayer and introduction. My name is Reverend John S. Mahon. If you Google me to find out if I'm legitimate or not, and you Google John Mahon, you will get Elton John's drummer. And that's. But if you will Google Reverend John Mahon or Reverend John S. Mahon, you'll get me. So, just to warn you, I'm not Elton John's drummer. Our website is www.gciweb.org. And if you go on our website, there are free devotional, quiet time, Bible studies, and it's free. It's not free with a $10 donation. It's free. You can either do it online and, you know, fill in the blank on a PDF format, or you can print it out and use it in for your personal devotionals or your small group Bible studies, whatever. And messages, other things. You can email me with questions, jmahon@gciweb.org, and I will work my way towards you. A lot of times I'm in places that has no internet or very slow internet, so it may take a while, but I will get to it. We have a free app. Type in Grace Community International, either both Android and Apple, and you get the free app. And Grace, if you Google Grace Community International, there's a cult who's chose Grace Community International as their name, and they got bumped off because we already owned it. So they changed it to Grace Communion International. But they've paid Google a lot of money that if you type Grace Community, if you hit that COM, it will default to Communion. That's not us. We are not Grace Communion International. We're Grace Community International. You can find out about their ministry that way too. We're going to be looking this morning at seven things to pray for a missionary, how we can minister to a missionary. I'll be asking some of you to read, so if you would turn in your Bibles or your handheld devices. That used to make me insecure. I was doing our marriage covenant seminar for my son's church in Houston, and it was a room with about 40 or 50 couples in it. And as I was talking, more and more, especially the men, were getting out their phones and their handheld devices and looking at them. And I told Sam, I said, I think I lost all the guys in here about halfway through. He said, no, they've all got their Bibles on their devices. You know, they don't carry Bibles around anymore. So that doesn't bother me anymore. I'm secure. I can handle it. So no more Bible drills. So if you have your Bibles or your handheld devices, turn to 1 Samuel 30, please. 1 Samuel 30. And I will ask Rich if you will read 21 through 23. And then Matt, if you will read 24 and 25. Okay? So go for it.
Verse 21. Then David came to the 200 men who had been too exhausted to follow David, who had been left at the brook Besor. And they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him. And when David came near to the people, he greeted them. Then all of the wicked and worthless fellows among the men who had gone with David said, because they did not go with us, we will not give them any of the spoil that we have recovered, except that each man may lead away his wife and children and depart. And David said, you shall not do so, my brothers, for what the Lord has given us, he has preserved us and given into our hand the band that came against us.
Who will listen to what you say? The share of the man who stayed with the supplies to be the same as that of him who went down to the battle. All of us share alike. David made this a statute and ordinance for Israel from that day to this.
There is a lot of false guilt associated with foreign missions. And the primary false guilt is, if you don't go, you're a second-rate Christian. I'm going to ask Kathy if you would pass out. This is a bookmark called Seven Things to Pray for Your Missionary. And when you do your Bible reading, if you use that bookmark, then each day when you do your Bible reading, you can pray one of these things for your missionary. You'll notice it goes Monday through Sunday. There's a lot of false guilt associated with foreign missions. Now, some of that comes from a wrong use of Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8 says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And some people wrongly teach that if in your lifetime you don't experience all of those things, then you're a second-rate Christian. And that's kind of reinforced in our church experience, isn't it? Like, you know, what's at the very top of the, you know, that's the missionary, right? And then below him is the senior pastor. And then below him are the deacons and elders and the ruling body. And before them are the committee heads. And then under them are the Sunday school teachers. And then under them are the assistants who, you know, do the logistical work and things like that. And then under them are the secretarial church staff. And then at the very bottom are the rest of us. And our job is to come to meetings so they all feel good about themselves. And so a lot of people wrongly feel like they're living at the bottom of the totem pole. And especially if you're an ambitious young man or an ambitious woman and you want to do great things for God, you want to vault immediately to going to the foreign mission field. And you find that difficult, it's expensive, you have to learn a language. And a lot of people live in false guilt because they have never been physically to the foreign mission field. So the first thing I want to do as we talk about praying for our missionaries is lift that false guilt. Everyone here knows who President Grant is, don't you? President Grant, Ulysses S. Grant, hero of the Civil War. Well, not many people know that his specialty in the military was logistics, was supply chain. And he was vaulted to be the general of the armies of the Potomac and of the strategy for the Union Army because of his knowledge of supply chain. And what his philosophy was that the Union Army had virtually an unlimited supply of money and men and materials. The Southern Army had a very limited supply of money and men and materials. So it was just a matter of utilizing the resources of the North to win the war. And that was his entire strategy. And it worked. And it worked. Not many people know. You know who General Eisenhower is? President of the United States, hero of the European theater. He also, his specialty was logistics. And many people attribute the victory of the American army in Europe to his ability to keep men supplied with three things: ammunition, food and clothing, and mail from home. He was obsessed with those three things. He said, if we can keep our army supplied with those three things, we will win this war. And we did. Well, David also, and Moses, recognized this. And so notice, in this chapter, we have some of the people who were left behind to maintain the lines of supply and communication. Other people were on the field engaged in battle. But when it came to dividing up the spoil, David recognized that an army that is not fed, that is not supplied, and does not have good communication lines cannot succeed. So those who were behind the lines maintaining that system were rewarded equally with those who were on the front lines of the battlefield. Well, this is a picture also of the spiritual battle which we are engaged in terms of the harvest fields of the world. And God the Holy Spirit teaches us that those who are behind the lines, maintaining lines of communication and supply, share equally in God's eyes with those who are on the field. Now, if the Word of God didn't say this, then it would just be shallow salesmanship. But the Word of God does say this. Let's look at an example. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 1, verse 11. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 11. Who would like to read that? Now, I'm a Baptist minister. Well, most Baptists believe in free will. But I'm also ordained Presbyterian. Presbyterians believe in predestination. So, I always tell my students at the seminary, I always ask questions first as a Baptist minister. But if nobody says anything, we find out who was predestined to read. So that's how we go. I'll ask this question first as a Baptist minister. Would anyone like to read 2 Corinthians 1, verse 11? Well, nobody says so. Kathy, you were predestined to do this. I can prove. You want to know how I can prove you're predestined to read it? Watch. See? I'm a prophet.
You also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayer of God.
Okay, now let's look at that verse. What does Paul say is going to happen in his ministry? What will their prayers do? You also will what through your prayers? Help. So first thing Paul says is, if you, intercessory prayer, praying for others, if you pray for a missionary, you will help him. You will be helped. For instance, I have a bunch of display boards and things like that that I have to lug back out to the car after this is over. If you come and see me struggling with that and pick up some of those things and carry them with me, you have helped me, haven't you? If you don't do that, you haven't helped me. That doesn't mean those materials won't get out to the car. It just means it'll be harder. By praying for missionaries, you help them. That doesn't mean if you don't pray for them, the gospel won't reach that country. God is not going to allow people to slip into hell simply because we fail to pray. But it does mean something, that you can participate in the success of their ministry through prayer. You become a co-minister with them. You could participate in making my life as a visiting pastor easier by helping me carry those things, couldn't you? And God would bless you for that. Simply because God blesses a Christian service to any other Christian. So let's keep reading. We also help them. And how do we help them? What does it say? Let's keep reading. Kathy, would you keep reading?
On verse 12?
On verse 11.
So that many will give thanks on our behalf.
Yeah. Our prayers for missionaries and that blessing by helping them cause people to thank God. Now, prayers of thanksgiving and praise to God please Him. We live in an era when the Ephesians says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. We live in the era of the church when the Holy Spirit is very grieved by the sins of drunkenness, immorality, homosexuality, false doctrine, and division in the church. The Holy Spirit is very grieved by that. By praying for missionaries and causing people on the mission field to rejoice with thanksgiving, we bless God, don't we? Okay? So it causes them to give thanks. Keep reading, Kathy, please.
For the blessing granted us through the prayers of men.
So, in praying for missionaries, they may receive blessings which they normally wouldn't get. Now, does that mean the missionary won't be able to do his job unless you pray for him? No, because God will honor that job. But if you are remembering that a missionary from this church has a birthday, so this Sunday school class buys one of a flat rate international box, and you put some things in it. Put some coffee, you know he likes peanut butter, he can't get peanut butter in India, so you put some peanut butter in there. You put some Christian books, you put some Christian CDs that he can live. So you just fill this box up and you take it to the post office and weigh it and pay for it and mail it to him. When he gets it, will it be a blessing? It will. It will be a great blessing for him. Does that mean if he doesn't get that box, he's going to be a failure on the mission field? No. But it does mean that he has been blessed because of something you have taken the time to do for. Well, that's how intercessory prayer is. By praying for missionaries specifically, not just God bless the missionaries, but by praying specifically for missionaries, we can bless them in a way that they wouldn't normally get blessed. Just like we can send them a box on their birthday, and that would be a blessing. That doesn't mean they won't be blessed, but it does mean their birthday will go by without any recognition. And that does affect people, doesn't it? So that's an exciting thing to think of. What this passage actually says, that we might be fellow workers with them on the field. So you can be a co-laborer with missionaries by praying for them. S.D. Gordon has a great book, and if during some summer reading, I would encourage you to get it. It's called Quiet Talks on Prayer by S.D. Gordon. S.D. Gordon was a missionary. He was also a pastor. And in that book, he says that in the morning, he gets down on his knees and he opens up a map and he has the names of missionaries and different places on that map and he prays for them. And he says, I can be in China, I can be in Africa, I can be in Russia. He says, I can be in the wilds of America, because this book was written in the early 1800s. He's praying for Methodist missionaries out in the wilds of America. I can be all over the world and yet physically be in my office. And that's true. You don't have to go to Russia and go to Moscow to pray for Moscow and to have a ministry in Moscow. You can have a significant prayer ministry in Moscow simply by finding a name of a missionary who's in Moscow and communicating with him by email, getting a list of prayer requests from him, and praying faithfully for those every day. You can, and claiming verses for them. Now, in my prayer notebook, in our travels, we meet missionaries and people I minister to. So, in my prayer notebook, you know, the great thing about staff to take pictures and, you know, tape them on pages, but now, you know, here is Keyes Work Ministers with Arab World Ministries. He's a Dutch missionary. This is Ray Tallman. He was the missions dean at Moody Graduate School and was a reader on my master's. He's now our minister. He ministers to Arabs. This is Jeff and Natalie Lark. They had a great influence on my children. They minister with Campus Crusade. These are the Laughlins. They minister in the Ukraine. These are the McCallways. They're in Kenya. This is the Vanzantes. They're in Japan. Over here, these are Cameroonians who we minister with. This is the Equa Church. This is Udabang Edemeter in South Africa. These are Russians, Pastor Reveal, Pastor Volkov, their church in Russia. This is Sunichi Imura, the Baptist Church in Japan. This is the Christ Church in the UK. Great Park Street Methodist in Wellingsboro, England. This is Eros Million in Finland, where we minister in the Lutheran Church. Just all over the world, every day, I minister all over the world by praying for these pastors and missionaries. And you could too. Anybody can have an international ministry through prayer. The other way you can minister is in 3 John 8. Let's read 3 John 8, please. Does anyone have a New American Standard Bible? Okay. Would you read 3 John 8, please? NIV is not a bad Bible, but it's a transliteration, so they do take some freedom in interpreting their translation. New American Standard is a word-for-word translation, so it's extremely accurate in terms of doing verse and word studies, but it can be an awkward for reading, so it's, you know, pick your poison. Or pick your blessing, should be. Okay. So go ahead.
Therefore, we ought to support such men so that we may be fellow workers with the truth.
Yeah. Now, there's a threefold cord of missions. Ecclesiastes says a cord of one strand is easily broken, but a cord of threefold is not easily broken. And it's those who go, those who pray, those who give. All share equally in the blessing, the sacrifice, and the reward. They sell equally in the blessing because if you, a member of Heritage Baptist, pray faithfully and sacrificially for a missionary, and that missionary is lazy, you will have a greater blessing in heaven than he will. If you give sacrificially to mission work in Russia, but some of the missionaries that you're giving to are lazy, you will have greater riches and greater blessings in heaven than they will. Because what God looks is at the heart and the sacrifice of the laborer, not the geographical position of the laborer. So that's an important concept. So we can be actively involved in God's eyes in foreign missions through praying and through giving. We can. And so prayer is a very important aspect of foreign mission work. You know, when we talked about, it was two things, logistics and communication. And that was important for David. It was important for General Grant. It was important for General Eisenhower. Well, the logistics is the giving. The communication, that's the prayer, if we wanted to track those two things. So what do we pray for missionaries? Now, I'm going to have something for everybody. In case you want to write these down, here's a pen. Alright, if I get some pen, and this way too, you can remember where my website is, because it's on the pen there. There, I have a pen for you. And what would we pray for a missionary? Well, I'm going to give you some verses, okay? You take the verses on Monday. You look those up. You can take them on Tuesday. You take Wednesday. You take Thursday. You take Friday. You take Saturday. You take Sunday. Okay? So if y'all would look up those verses. So the thing begins, how can we pray for missionaries? What do we emphasize in our prayer for missionaries? Well, I came up with this prayer guide as a missionary to help you. Now, we would also pray for some specifics, like if their children have malaria, you could pray for healing of their children. You know, if they're having trouble getting their visa, you can pray for their visa. On many occasions, we have experienced blessing, and the only way I can explain that is because people who are faithfully praying for us. And I don't have any, I don't deceive myself at all that the success of my ministry is equally dependent not upon our willingness to go, but on our prayer warriors and our donors' willingness to sacrifice equally in that. But it needs to be a serious ministry. You wouldn't want anybody, when you do an application, a mission board did an application, you want to be a missionary. Yeah, I've always, you know, it'd be nice to know, go to another country. I think it'd be interesting, you know, to visit some of the historical sites and maybe talk to people about Jesus. And, you know, I won't have any accountability, so I get to sleep in every morning. You know, it'd be kind of, you know, it'd be kind of nice. Drink coffee, socialize. Well, that wouldn't be a serious missionary, would it? And nor is a serious prayer warrior someone who just says, yes, and bless the missionaries of the church. So we're talking about serious prayer. A picture, specific requests, and Bible verses. And the reason I emphasize praying over Bible verses, because we don't always know what God's will is for the missionary in terms of his temporal life experience. But if it's in God's word, that is God's will, isn't it? So we really go to work blessing our missionaries when we have passages where we pray those passages specifically for our missionaries. So let's look at the first thing we would pray for our missionary. We're going to pray on Monday. We're going to pray, and what is the title? It's Spiritual Protection, Ephesians 6, 12, 16, and 18.
For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces that
we live in the earth. That's important for us to remember, especially during this election year. It's easy for us to begin thinking that the enemy are political parties or dysfunctional social groups. Those are not the enemy. Those are the enslaved population, civilian population of Satan. The enemy is Satan, isn't it? And so one of the first things we want to do is pray for spiritual protection for our missionaries. The Bible says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And so we can oppose Satan and protect our missionaries from satanic and demonic attack. We can do that. All we have to do is do it. Now, let me give you a hypothesis. You have a missionary who's visiting from Uganda, here in Oklahoma City. And you get a text from him, and his car has broken down late at night in a bad part of the city. And he really doesn't know anybody, and he doesn't know the system. And he said that there's some people, you know, who are standing on the street corner, and they're starting to look at him, and he's worried. Could you come help him? Now, does that mean if you don't get in your car and go help him, that God will abandon him? No. But does it mean that if you are willing to respond, you can protect that missionary from a very bad situation? Yes, it does. So what intercessory prayer does in terms of spiritual protection, it doesn't mean that God's going to abandon that missionary. It does mean that you get to be actively involved in protecting that missionary as if you were in Uganda, you were getting up, you were hopping in your car, and you were driving out to the village to pick him up because his cars broke down in the middle of the night. It's a significant ministry, isn't it? See, through intercessory prayer, God does not give us the ability to ensure the success or failure or the eternal destiny of men's souls. What God gives us the opportunity to do is minister to missionaries as if we were there and impact their lives as if we were there. That's significant, isn't it? And someday, some lady, a senior citizen in this church, will enter into glory. And crowns are being distributed. And they will say, for saving the life of a missionary in Uganda, for going to his aid, you receive this crown. For blessing the great revival of the Kampala Baptist Church, you receive this crown. For helping being a part of the salvation of this missionary's children, you receive this crown. And she'll say, when did I do this? And he will say, those mornings on your knees or at your desk or at the kitchen table with your cup of tea, when you prayed for this missionary, you did those things. That's significant, isn't it? We can all have that ministry. Let's look at what are we going to pray on Tuesday. What's Tuesday? 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 and 2.
As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored, just as it was with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith.
Now, if you have a friend who's doing street evangelism, and he finds himself in a difficult situation, and it looks like a drug gang's going to get him, and he calls you and says, you know, I was dropped off here at the corner. They're not supposed to come back and get me till midnight, but this thing is going south. Will you come get me? Would you save him by coming and get him? Yeah. Does that mean if you don't come and get him, God will abandon him? No. But it does mean for the rest of his life, he will associate it. Not getting a switchblade in the side or not getting a small caliber bullet in his stomach with you. That's a significant ministry, isn't it? So we can protect our missionaries from difficult situations. Let's keep reading, please. Psalm 9:14. 91:4. I'm sorry, Psalm 91:4.
He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart.
So that's what we pray for our missionaries. We can't be there, but we pray for God's protection. Now, I personally experienced this. I was on my way to Kampala. We were driving along an unpaved, dusty road. We had come up through Nairobi. We had gone through Eldoret. We had crossed over the border into Uganda. And we're going to Kampala for me to do a ministry. And I threw a wrong reaction of some malaria medication I was taking with some other things, I went into cardiac arrest, and I was just collapsed. And I was lying face down in the dirt on the road in Kampala. Well, I don't have time to give the full story, but needless to say, it all turned out all right. Because here I am, okay? The short version, though, is that when I got home, this was before there was email communication in those cities in Houston. Eleanor said, are you okay? And I said, well, I am now. And I told her the story. And she said, well, and she mentioned the name of one of the men who's in Bible study with me in Houston. His wife called me that next morning and said, is John okay? She said, well, you know, he's out of communication. He's on the dark side of the moon. We don't know. She said, well, the Lord woke William and I up at 3 a.m. and we prayed till 6 when we had to get ready to go to work for John. You know, I said, well, the Lord woke me up at 3 a.m. also. Well, if you do the time change, at the time the Lord was waking them up to pray for me, with me lying face down in the dirt on the back road of Uganda with my heart stopping and starting, God was waking up my prayer warriors to protect me. Okay? Intercessory prayer is very important. It does work. God does bless. One of the values of Grace Community International is we don't pay bribes. I've ministered in 27 countries of the world, and they're not, it's not France, Germany, England, the Bahamas. It's the other end of the spectrum, and we've never paid a bribe. But that doesn't mean that we don't experience difficulties going into different countries. I remember I was going into one country, and I went through passport control, and they took my passport, and then the passport officer said, do you have anything for me? And I said, yes. And so I gave him my vaccination card. He said, no, what do you have for me? So I said, well, all I have left is my driver's license. I was just plain dumb. So at that point, he swung around his automatic weapon, shoved it in my chest, and flipped off the safety and said, give me money. Now, he's robbing me. Wouldn't you agree? Somebody sticks a semi-automatic weapon in your stomach and yells at you, give me money. So I did give him some money, but that wasn't a bribe. He was robbing me. But apart from the intercessory prayers of my prayer warriors, he would have gone ahead and shot me and just taken everything I had. Because that does happen. So intercessory prayer for protection is very important. Let's look at physical and emotional stamina. Isaiah 40:29-31. Who has that?
He gives power to the faint, and to him who has them, I see increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint.
Yeah, I like this verse because this is the verse my son Sam prays for me with his family. Okay? Philippians 4:13. Yes, and there are many things. You know, being a missionary at 65 is entirely different than being a missionary at 45. I can attest to that because I've done both. And we, Eleanor and I, really rely on the ministry of intercession from our prayer warriors to sustain us in difficult situations. Now, you have a friend who's driving up over from Stillwater. He went to a game. And his car breaks down. And he's about 6 miles outside of Edmond. So he begins walking. Well, if he has texted you and you drive out there and pick him up and bring him back home, and so he can, and then he's able to call a tow car, and they go get the car and they bring it in, and then you drive him over to the shop where he can get it fixed, will that be a blessing to him? It will. Will that mean that if you don't do that, God won't take care of him as he walks that 6 miles? No, God will take care of him. But he will be exhausted and covered with sweat and pretty discouraged, won't he? Well, that's the same way with intercessory prayer. By praying for our missionaries' physical and emotional stamina, it doesn't mean that God is going to abandon them. It does mean, however, that we can be a blessing to them and make their life easier. So that's an important prayer. How about family responsibilities? 1 Timothy 3, 4 and 5. Who has that?
He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect.
And 1 Timothy 5, 8.
Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and
his worship. So we could have a real ministry to them in terms of their family responsibilities, can't we? We can pray for them. We can pray for their family. We can pray for their financial resources. In my ministry in 27 countries, I can say that the number one pressure on missionaries in terms of the care of their children and having children who are not bitter that their parents were missionaries are finances. That's the number one thing. So by making sure that our missionaries are well paid and well cared for, that their children are remembered on their birthdays, that they are remembered on their birthdays and their anniversaries, and that we pray for their ministry to their children so that they have enough physical, spiritual, and financial resources to have something left over when they come home at night. It's an important ministry, isn't it? If you have some missionaries who are visiting here in Oklahoma City, and one of you says, you know, I want to just come over and babysit for you free every Friday night so you can go on a date. Would that be a blessing? Does that mean if you don't do that, their marriage will fail? No. I remember when I was a high school student, I was trying to think of something I could do to in some way pay back the youth minister who led me to Christ. My dad wasn't a Christian, but he said, I'll tell you one thing you can do. You can go over there every Friday night and babysit for him for free. So I did. All my junior and senior year, I did it. That was a blessing. Does that mean his marriage would fail if I didn't do that? But it was a blessing, isn't it? Does that mean their marriages and families will fail if you don't pray for their marriages and family? No. But it does mean you can be a blessing to them. Who knows what blessings they were experiencing? Used to, there was a strong organization in Southern Baptist Church called the WMU, the Women's Missionary Union. And they put out a prayer calendar for Sunday school classes with the names of every missionary born on a certain day. And when I would go to Southern Baptist mission conferences back in the day when they did that, I would hear testimony after testimony of miracles and blessings that happened on their birthday that they attributed to the fact that tens of thousands of Southern Baptists prayed specifically for them by name on their birthday. We can be a blessing. But you know what's equally important to that? You get to minister to them personally. How about Ephesians 6, 18 through 20?
With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, yield and alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known the boldness, the mystery of the gospel.
Okay, we're running out of time, so we're going to stop. But this is a command, specific command by God the Holy Spirit to pray for missionaries that they'll be fruitful in evangelism. And then last, Philippians 4:19.
And my God will supply all your needs according to his greatness and glory in Christ.
Now, God is going to do that, but we can be a part of their ministry. So these are things that we can do to bless missionaries. But you know what? It will also be a great blessing to you. So I'm going to lift the guilt trip that people have put on you because you are not on the mission field. And you know, one of the reasons I do that is because anyone who's saying that you should be on the mission field, where are they? They're not there, are they? So that's the first thing that should click in your mind. You should be texting me this or Skyping me or something. So, but Because in God's value system, it is not God's will for everybody to physically go. God calls people who He has gifted and called to go. It is God's will that everybody be engaged in foreign mission work. But you can do that by going if that's God's will. But everybody, whether they're called to go or not, can pray and give. Those are the universal commands. May God bless the teaching of His holy word. In Christ's name we pray, amen.